then that these martyred souls cried is put forth by many individuals today. How long must we wait until the Lord does something? How long before the Lord gets vengeance on those to whom vengeance is due? With the breaking of the sixth seal, we have the loosing of a series of judgments that puts the fear of God in the hearts of the earth dwellers. Let's look at the 12th verse. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. The Greek word there is seismos, from which we get our word seismograph. Other instruments pertaining to earthquakes, but the word is a little more comprehensive than just an earthquake. It involves the shaking of the heavens as well as the earth. It could involve a shaking of the earth in some instances without the opening of great chasms in the earth. I don't know. I've never experienced an earthquake. Some years ago when we had gone to Mount Hermon, where we were speaking in a Bible conference, when I returned, we stopped a little town in Arizona, late the evening meal, and then drove on as far as Grants, New Mexico, where we spent the night. Picking up the morning paper, showed pictures of the cafe in which we had eaten that had been wrecked during the night by an earthquake that had shaken that part of the country. And that's the closest I've ever come to an earthquake. But I've read from many different sources, and I've heard some speak, and they say that there's no physical phenomena like an earthquake to put the fear of God into the heart of a man. And when this sixth seal is open, God Almighty shakes the earth. Isaiah, and the quotation in Hebrews, tells us of a day coming when God's going to shake not only the earth, but the heavens. That's nothing new. With the giving of the law to Moses, there was a mighty earthquake manifesting the presence of God. Elijah fleeing from the face of Jezebel, who had sent word to him that by this time tomorrow thou shalt be as these prophets of mine. Fleeing till he was exhausted, resting for a while, then awakened by the Lord. The Lord sent a mighty rushing wind, but he was not in the wind. That is, the Lord was not in the wind. That was followed by a mighty earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. That was followed by a mighty fire, but the Lord is not in the fire. Still small voice. The Lord spoke to Elijah at the crucifixion of our Lord, seemingly at the time he yielded his spirit to God the Father. There was a mighty earthquake. The veil of the temple rent in twain from top to the bottom. But all knew by the presence of that mighty earthquake, that God was in their midst. Paul and Silas in prison, singing psalms, praising God, had an answer from God with a mighty earthquake that broke open the prison and released the prisoners. Then the writer to the Hebrews quotes that passage which I referred a moment ago, that there's coming a day when God's going to shake the heavens and the earth. I've seen the earth shaken by a mighty wind. May, before we were moved here in June of 1950, I was standing in the pulpit about 8 o'clock in the evening, ministering the Word of God. A lady came running down, and stopped me. Said, there are 2 tornadoes approaching, one from the west, one from the southwest. I told the people and told them they were free to do as they pleased. Lots of them began to move into the center. This was Sunday evening. We were not pushed for space. And hail was already beginning to come through the stained glass windows and hit the pews and bounce around. There's pouring torrents outside. 2 decided to leave. They got their cars out at the crossroads and flooded them, and they had to swim or wade back to the church, and many went to the basement. A tornado came within 4 blocks of the church, lifted, went over and sat down on the other side of the church and went on. One of the members of our church was at home at that time. Why? I've never learned why he was at home instead of church. But he said he stood on the porch and watched the tornadoes that went through. Whole houses lifted up and disintegrate. 50 city blocks there in Amarillo, Texas, completely demolished. I've seen the results of the hurricanes when we lived on the coast. Went through one hurricane with winds approximating 120 miles an hour. None of those things, anything to compare with this which the Lord is going to send. He's going to send something from which none can flee and from which none can escape. Earthquake, mighty earthquake, disturbances in the heavens and on the earth. I've seen pictures in this past year, the results of these earthquakes. It seemed like for miles, just rubble. Underneath the rubble, countless numbers of individuals crushed to death. Now, when God opens the seal there, the Lord Jesus Christ opens that 6th seal, the first manifestation of the presence and power of God, it's going to be that mighty earthquake. Then we read concerning the second experience. Look, if you will. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Have you ever seen sackcloth made out of black hair? I did on one occasion, visiting in a home years ago. I saw a divan and a chair upholstered with sackcloth of hair, and it was black hair. It wasn't anything one would want to be seated upon, but it was black. And I tell you, I've never seen anything blacker. It would look purple at times, then shades of green, and then black. And the sun is going to turn to a darkness and a blackness black as that. One of the plagues God sent upon the children of Israel prior to the time that Pharaoh permitted their release from slavery was 3 days and nights of darkness. Scripture tells us that it was a darkness in which and out of which no one could move. The density of that darkness was such that those who were seated remained seated for 3 days and nights. Those who were lying down remained lying down 3 days and three nights. Those who were standing stood for 3 days and nights. That darkness. Pastoring for a while on the coast of the Gulf of Mexico, we experienced two or three blackouts during the war. And it was black. It was black. Returning from Israel past October, the hotel in which we stayed in London was situated in the part of the city that experienced the 2-hour blackout because of a strike by the workmen. They didn't black out the whole city, but an area here one night, an area there the next night, and another area. We happened to be in the hotel. It was black. To help, they began running up and down the hall with lighted candles, which didn't help at all. It just increased our fear. Remembering a hotel that had been set afire by lighted candles during a blackout comparable to that one. But it was black. But nothing to compare to the blackness that God Almighty sent. 3 days and nights of that blackness. As our Lord hung upon the cross, when He who knew no sin was made sin for us. When the Lord Jesus Christ looked, as described in Isaiah, He had no form. He had no shape. He didn't look like a human being. Just a sack full of distended human flesh. He had no form nor comeliness that we should behold Him or gaze upon Him. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. When that came, the Lord drew a shade of darkness, a shade of blackness for 3 hours over that scene. Nobody gazed upon the face of the Son of the living God when God forsook Him and turned His back upon Him. There was that darkness. But there's coming the darkness when the sun shall be as dark as sackcloth of hair. Darkness is fearsome. Can't see, you feel distressed. Isaiah and Joel both talk about that day when the sun is going to be turned to darkness. The third thing that's going to take place, mentioned in that 12th verse, the moon became as blood. As blood. One of the other passages of Scripture tells us that the moon was turned to blood. Not the beautiful silver disk that we see in the skies, but turned to blood. And I don't know how you are with blood, but I cannot endure the sight of blood. One member of a church of which I pastor insisted that I go to him to surgery. Wanted me to hold his hand while they operated. He's only one. I've never done that again, but I told his hand, and one of the doctors turned to the anesthesiologist and said, "Is he out?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Well, I'll see." And he cut him, and I hit the floor. They had to leave him and wait on me. I go to Houston now, and they say we need some blood. I said, take all you want. Blood. The moon becoming blood. Sickening, nauseating. My first church was in the ranch country of West Texas. And I helped some of them with the putting up of their meat for winter and the killing and the dressing of hogs, the cattle, the horses, the birds. Everything seemed to go wild with the smell of blood. Not just in a localized area, but in the day when God's judgments are in the land, the whole moon, the text says, the full moon, the whole moon is going to be turned to blood. Sickening, sickening, sickening. The stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. You read and I read. You saw and I saw pictures of some of the avocado orchards in California and in Florida, particularly Florida, after fringe of a hurricane that passed through. The ground covered with the avocados that had been beat off and blown off of the trees. Now the stars, some have difficulty with this passage of Scripture, because when we get to the 8th chapter, we read that the stars are still in their places in the heavens. But this expression is a little different and gives us a little different sight. Look at the expression, and the stars of heaven. The translators here have left out the definite article, the, before the word heaven. Literally, it's the stars of the heaven. Stars of the heaven. We remember the atmospheric heavens, then the heavens of the planets and the stars, and then the heaven in which God Almighty dwells. And then we remember how we have seen falling stars and shooting stars in the first heavens. And the designation as these being the stars of the heaven, and these falling stars and these shooting stars, cause us to think that has to do with those with which we have seen meteors, meteorites, as they course through the heavens. People get disturbed because they say the Scripture says all the stars of heaven go to fall on the earth, and any of the stars, any one of them, is far bigger than the earth itself, and how can all of them fall on that? I think the way God has given this, that the stars of the heaven puts it in the heavens that are around us, and there'll be a display of those stars, the shooting stars, the falling stars we've never seen before. They'll know that God Almighty is in His heaven and all is well. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. You ever look up your diploma from high school? No, from grammar school? Maybe one from college has been put away a long time and you open it out and it slips out of your hand and it's little too. You haven't had that experience. Maybe you've had this experience. But scares me every time it happens. Pull down a window shade and it slips loose. And then just keep going around and around. Now, that's what I'm talking about here. And heaven is going to pass away as a scroll that's unrolled and then flies back together. Or as a window shade goes through. Peter tells us about a day when the heavens are going to be loosed. Pass out of existence. Accompanying that phenomenon, we have every mountain and island moved out of their places. Signal Mountain, moved into the sea and run down to the sea, put where Sigma Mountain was. Islands moved, mountains moved, disfiguration upon the whole of the face of the earth. And still people in their ignorance say, why doesn't God do something? Beloved, you just pray if you find it in your heart for those who are going to be here when that takes place. We're living in the day of grace. We're living in the day of mercy. We're living in the day in which men and women can still be saved. When this happens, the earth dwellers beyond the range of salvation. Those verses of Scripture tell us of the things that are going to transpire with the physical earth and the heavens. The next verse tells us about the people who will be living here upon the earth. Many conjecture, many things they think will transpire in the days that are coming. I hear many talk today about great revival coming before the Lord, great turning to God. But the Scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah. And only 8 were saved in the days of Noah in the ark. He said, as it was then, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The Lord said, as it was in the days of Lot. Only Lot, his wife, and his 2 virgin daughters delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, that's the way it's going to be when I come back. He asked the question, when the Son of Man returneth, will he find faith in the earth? The answer implied in the Greek text, no. No. There'll be a great falling away preceding the coming of the Lord. We forget those things. People talk about the world's going to be a great democratic order. No more kings, no more princes, no more billionaires, no more slaves. Conditions are going to be ideal and be perfect. Not so the Word of God. Look, if you will, the 15th verse. In the days when the Son of Man returns, the opening of the 6th seal, the kings of the earth, going to be kings. Kings! They're trying to do away with kings, remove them, but they'll not do it. They will continue. There'll be great men, mighty men of power, politically, financially, socially, educationally. Mighty men, powerful men. There'll be rich men. Despite all of the efforts of socialism, communism, other isms to distribute the wealth, there'll still be rich men, and there'll still be poor men. Our Lord said, the poor you'll have with you always. There'll be the rich. There'll be the chief captains. Those are the men of the Pentagon. Those are men of the Kremlin. Those are powerful military leaders. Those are the 4-star, 5-star generals. Those are the men who take over many countries throughout the world today. A military takeover. And then they run things. They're going to be existing when the Lord returns. They're going to be the mighty men. Mighty men. By virtue of birth, position, prestige, exert all kinds of influence. Men who today can utter a word and affect transactions in many capitals of the world. Every bondman, every slave, they'll be slaves. There'll be slaves in those days. Then there'll be slaves who've been freed. That's the meaning of the word every free man. That's not every man who's free, but the free man there is a man who was a slave, but he has been freed. There are men from every walk of life. Men from every walk of life. People never learned the lesson that God Almighty never made anything alike. There's variety in everything that He's done. And one of the worst movements with which man can be associated is trying to make everything to be uniform. Make everything alike. God didn't do it. But here they are. Now what do they do when these days come? They hide themselves in dens and rocks of mountains. That's an interesting statement. With the coming of the release of the atomic power and with the radiation that's produced from that and the fallout, it has been determined by the scientists that it takes a wall or ceiling of cement at least 5 feet in thickness. 5 feet in thickness to hold out those rays. And many of you possibly remember how that a few years ago many people went in for these fallout shelters on the street in which we lived. There was a big one built and stocked with enough groceries and other things to last a year or two. I've often wondered what that family would do if they came out and found themselves to be the only family on the earth. But here in this day, when the atomic power of heaven is released upon the earth, men high to the caves and hide behind the rocks and in the rocks to get away from the effect of the atomic fire that God sends down upon the earth. I've spoken to you on several occasions of the Mesa Verde Pueblo dwellings, southwestern Colorado, where a whole civilization was wiped out in about 1100 A.D. The only remains of life that were found were back inside the Pueblo, where the walls were 4 to 5 feet in thickness. All of the flesh, all of the moisture in the body, extracted from the bodies of those within, and the skin drawn tight on the bones, even to the fingers. I've seen some of these remains, the hands intact, skin as tight as a drum, holding them together with arms. Those who were exposed were never found, entirely consumed. Now, this fire from heaven is going to come down, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 3. And when these things begin to happen, here's a king and a slave. Here's the banker and the creditor. Here they are, the black, the white, the yellow, and the red, male and female, all of them running, hunting a cave in which to hide and get away from that. And as they go and hide themselves, they begin to pray. They began to pray. Have you ever been in a family where somebody said, this is as bad as it can be? Oh, somebody call the preacher. Which one? Well, I don't know. That happens. But you know, every believer is a priest unto God. Every believer has direct access to God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. Began to pray. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. Today is the day of prayer. Call upon the Lord while He's near. The privilege of prayer. The power of prayer. Lord, wilt thou do this? And you say, done. And then you pray not until another emergency arises. Here's a king. Here's a governor. Here's a president of a bank. Here's a leading educator, philanthropist. Never prayed in their life. Now they're praying. Coming a day when every knee shall bow at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day when every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But today is the day to look, they pray. They pray to the mountains and the rocks. They can do them no good. Only God hears and answers prayer. Fall on us. Hide us. From the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. Hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the lion? No. The wrath of the Lamb. Conjure in your mind, if you can, the wrath of a Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. The great day of His wrath, or the day of His great wrath, is come, and who shall be able to stand? Why doesn't God do something? He's going to. But He willeth that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance unto life. And He still delays and delays and delays, that you might be saved and that you might be saved. That you, my Christian friend, might avail yourselves of 1 John 1:9. Wipe the slate clean. Stand before the Lord free of sin because of His forgiveness. This day is coming. This day is coming. Signs of His coming multiply. Morning light breaks on Easter sky. Never in the history of the world have all of the signs of His coming fused together as today. Today is the day. Today is the day to do the will of God the Father. What is His will? That ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. Now these kings, millionaires, billionaires, educators, doctors, these slaves, these poor, these down and out, all of them together are lost. That's the reason they call on the rocks and the mountains. They're lost. They're lost because they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have believed on Jesus Christ as my Savior. I stand before you a child of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not the man he'd have me to be. I'm not the husband he'd have me to be. I'm not the father he'd have me to be. I'm not the pastor he'd have me to be. I'm not the preacher he'd have me to be. But I am prepared to be caught up. My appearance at the judgment seat of Christ might be something else. But that can be made right with the Lord. Availing myself of this precious promise, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, if there's a man or woman or boy or girl here this morning that knows not the Lord as their Savior, turn them, O Lord, to thee in this moment. Grant that they will confess with their mouth that Jesus is the Christ, believing in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Perhaps there are others here. You'd have to do something else. Perhaps present themselves for baptism, having believed on the Lord. Perhaps to come into the fellowship of this church by letter, promise of a letter, by statement. Anyway, Lord, that thy will might be done, we ask in Christ's name. We're going to stand.